In today's episode, we will be speaking with a former prison guard, Bill. Here is our conversation.
Actually, the jobs, the different jobs you can have in different units and in different prisons. Do the inmates get paid some kind of salary?
I honestly don't know how that works. I was never involved in that part. I never asked about it.
Okay.
I think in some units they do, but I don't know.
I would think that that's there would have to be an incentive because they wouldn't care then what kind of job they did on it.
I would think there's something, whether it be commissary or time, mm-hmm. I would think there's some kind of compensation for it. Mm-hmm.
But also, Jude, the ones that I've talked to, just having something to do all day is better than just sitting in their cells.
Well, that's how I would feel, yeah, definitely. But right,
it'd be cool if they had like a fund set up for them that goes into an account for like when they get out, so like they're working towards like making money, and then when they get out, they get it. You know what I mean?
Yes. One that I know that was released on parole left the prison with $5 in his pocket.
Mm. Wow.
What's he going to do with that?
Right.
$5.
But if they knew that they were working for a future, maybe that would be an incentive.
Mm-hmm. It could be. I could see that being an incentive. Mm-hmm.
But I guess it also depends on the person, because if they're there for like 30 years or something and they know that they're not getting out, then they might not have that incentive, you know, mm-hmm. if they know that they're going to be there for like ever, you know.
But a lot of inmates will take a job even if they're there for 30 plus years. A lot of them will take a job just because it's better than being locked up with their cellie in the same,
you know,
same area, same people all the time. They get to actually move around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, true.
Yeah, and also there's a lot of, like, it's expensive. If you want to keep communication with the outside world, you have to pay, or your family have to pay, you know, to make calls or to send letters, mm-hmm. and everything costs money, except maybe for food.
Yeah, it all costs money. And if you want to eat anything other than the meals that are provided, it costs money too.
But then if I'm sure if you don't eat it right then and there, it's kind of a risk of like you have to hide it or trade it, I guess.
Well, their meals that they're provided, they have to eat. They're supposed to eat in the ODR and they can't leave with it. Meal things that they buy from commissary, usually they have a lockbox in their cells. They can lock it in.
Oh, that's nice.
I bet a lot of fights start because of people taking other people's stuff or moving it, you know, the cellies.
That happens from time to time. It doesn't happen as often as one would think, but it does happen.
Do you find that they respect each other enough to not touch their stuff?
Sometimes. I ain't going to say all the time.
Okay.
It depends how well they get along.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've heard that. This can't even remember where I've heard it from, but that, you know, you're at bigger risk as an inmate, but it's probably guards as well, when you just go into prison or when you're about to leave. That is like a stressful time and more high risk.
I never found that.
Okay.
I can't even say when the higher risk time would be. It just really matters. A lot of times I would say that the more risk is when there's movement, really. Mm-hmm. Anytime there's mass movement.
Yeah.
And usually there's not a shift change during mass movement. Going to the chow hall is a big one. Going to education is big. Usually if it's a shift turnout for inmates for jobs, there's no real problems because they don't want to lose their job if they've got one.
Right.
Education and mealtime is probably the biggest. Rec yard, there can be some problems there.
Did you have experience with rival gangs?
There was a few of them that acted up, but it didn't really happen as much as one would think.
Well, that's good.
A lot of times... They keep that really to themselves. Every now and then it does blow up out of control towards them, not riot wise. It just, you get on. In the time I was there, I was there for a fair amount of years, and I think we've had to put plastic cuffs on a wreck yard probably 4 times.
Okay.
So it really doesn't, and that's all kinds of different. When they do that, you get all kinds of different gangs and cliques mixed in together, and different races, and for the most part, they manage to get along.
Do they kind of separate themselves by race?
They try to, yeah.
Okay.
It doesn't always work, but they try to.
I've heard that, they try to, stick with their own race instead of,
Until something starts to go down, they'll kind of mix in together. They still stick together, but they kind of mix in with everybody else. But you can tell if there's tension in the air, they all kind of group in their own groups.
Okay.
Everything kind of gets a little quieter. That's when you know you need to be alert.
Mm-hmm. There's another podcast called Ear Hustle where they record inside San Quentin prison, and that's, I think I heard it on there. Mostly in San Quentin, they separate by race.
Yeah, we never separated by race. The unit we were at, there could very easily be a black and a white, or a Mexican and black, or Mexican and white, all like in different cells. Our cells were two person to a cell. There's a lot of times they'll be mixed like that. Mm-hmm. It's not uncommon at all.
I think that's the way it should be, because you want. I mean, we in this country, we put people in prison, and a lot of times they're treated as less than human, and then we expect them to come out as better people. And I think it's important that they get exposed to other races, other lifestyles, mm-hmm. Because that's the way it is in the real world. If they're going to come out, they need to be able to get along with other races.
And part of the job of being in prison is to bring an inmate back to society, to be able to be functional and integrate them back in.
Right.
That's right. Part of the function of prison.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that I'm involved in with the Innocence Project of Texas is a client correspondence program to help give them some social skills. We write to them and they write back, and it helps them to get some social skills for when they get out.
Yeah, I'm not sure about the education part. I know they got it there and they can learn how to communicate, and I'm not sure. I never worked in that department, so I don't really know too much about it.
I imagine that it's different for every prison system. Every state's different. If prison is, each prison is individually owned, or it's not like run by the government, so they're not all equally set up for different things. I mean, some prisons might have jobs, some might not. So I imagine along the country, it kind of works differently. But going back to what Kathy said about the groups, when researching this, I did hear or I did read that administrations of prisons like people to segregate in groups, because as long as they're fighting with each other, they can't fight the establishment. I'm not saying that's right or wrong. I'm not saying it exists today. I don't know if that was when it first started. I don't know if that's more like the maximum security. Bill, in your expertise and your background, have you noticed anything like that? Like higher administration, like saying that you should encourage them, the groups?
I don't think so.
No.
No, I mean they. Yeah, I don't think so because there was a lot of times we had, like I said, mixed cells, and it's just how it goes sometimes. Even different cliques are together, and I don't feel it's that way.
Okay.
If the inmates are going to get together and start bucking on the system, they're going to do that regardless. It don't matter what's
right.
What race is where? They're all gonna buck it at one time.
But I wonder if that's just something that someone had tried at some time, you know, to see if that would work out. But
I'm sure they have.
Yeah,
I'm sure they have.
I'm sure there's a lot of games played on both sides, you know, to try to get what they need or want. Yeah.
So, Bill, did you ever work anywhere in the department that had visitation with the people that came and visited?
Very, very seldom. I went in there and helped out. That was about it. Usually they call me in to do the strip search, and that was about it.
Okay. I was just curious about that experience. You know, you have people coming to visit their loved ones, and then maybe it also gives a different perspective or something. When you see.
I can tell I escorted a lot of inmates to visitation, and I picked a lot of them up from visitation because I got to handcuff them and escort them. And being maximum security, that's what I had to do. And I always told the inmate on the way there, have a good visit, enjoy your time. You know, when I picked them up, I'd ask them how their visit was. And usually they were very happy. They were happy they got to see the people.
That's good.
Did you find that a lot of prisoners had visitors or not?
There was a lot of visits, but I think it was usually the same people. It wasn't. There's a lot of inmates that don't have visitors.
Yeah, it's because I've heard from people who had loved ones in prison, and they said, you know, it's too tough of an experience. You know, at some point you can't do it to go and see your loved one in prison because it's just.
I can see how it would be very stressful. Mm-hmm. Very stressful.
Go ahead, Bill.
I was going to say just trying to think from a visitor's point of view, you got to go through your shakedown. You got to, you know, go through the metal detector, and you got to wear there's certain clothes you can't wear, certain things you can't bring in. You know, you can't take pictures, you know, you can't have your phone with you. I could see it being stressful, and then you got to see your inmate. They got to be shook down when they leave, when they come in, and you know that's fixing to happen. And as a visitor, I could see how it could be stressful.
I've had experience visiting the one inmate that I started writing to. He's an Innocence Project client. I've become very close to him and his wife. And my husband and I have gone to visit him. This was pre-COVID. We went to visit him. I would go visit him again. It's not that intrusive or not that, maybe because I look at it differently. I look at it as they're keeping me safe and the inmate I'm visiting. Now, since we weren't family members, we didn't have contact visits. So, I did have one experience because I have stents in my heart and it set off the metal detector. And because I was told I couldn't bring anything but my ID, I didn't have my cards with me that show the stent placements. Right. And so I did have to have they call it a strip search, but it really wasn't. She just took me in the room. I had to lift my shirt up and she wanded the area, and that was it. I mean, it wasn't real invasive. Mm-hmm. But she told me next time, bring the cards. And also my son was in the safe P facility And that was a contact visit. And, you know, you had to go through the same thing. They had to take off your shoes, and they would use the wand on your feet and check your shoes. And I asked the guard one time, I said, do people really try to sneak drugs in here? She said, you would be surprised.
Wow.
Your person is in there to get clean and, you know, to serve the time for their drug possession or whatever it is. Why would you do that? Mm-hmm. I don't get it.
In prison, it's a money thing.
Yeah.
The inmates can sell it for stamps, soups, wow, tuna, whatever they get from commissary.
Wow.
Chips, Coke.
Well, I have heard that in one of the units in Texas, that the guards are bringing in the K2, which is not technically illegal, but I mean the K2, because it's like potpourri that they smoke, and potpourri is not illegal. Smoking it might not be legal. I don't know. But
potpourri?
Yeah.
Stuff you smell good in your bathroom? What?
Yeah.
That's what it looks like and it smells like. It's
yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't always look like that. It comes in many different forms.
Yeah. Right. Right.
Yeah, you don't ever want to, if you have to mess with someone that's on K2, you usually don't end up good. There's usually a use of force involved.
Right. That's what I was told by
a lot of times. A lot of times the stuff is laced and the person will have to end up going to the infirmary and then they'll have to be shipped out to the hospital.
Yeah. I guess, like you said, it's a money thing. So,
yeah. All the inmates have their side hustle, whether it be making burritos or tacos or cakes or cooking someone's dinner, or washing someone's clothes, or polishing somebody's shoes. They all do something somewhere.
Wow. I never thought about that.
Yeah. And I feel that, can I ask you why you decided not to work as a prison guard anymore?
I had a bad use of force. I had a sergeant that was gas happy and I couldn't do anything because he shot me with gas at the same time. And
what?
When I tried to help, I couldn't do anything.
Wow.
So that a very bad experience that. Yeah. That makes sense. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. So I guess.
Oh, go ahead, Ellen.
No, it's just like, I think we talked about it earlier, but, you know, it's very important, I guess, to have a good colleague when you're working as well, because it's dangerous too if you're like your partner is inexperienced or mean.
Right.
Yeah. And it was one of the ones that I told you that doesn't communicate well. And
yeah.
Eddie stopped and just listened to what I was saying and what the inmate was saying. I had the inmate already. He was going to get his stuff and go downstairs and sit at a table. And instead the sergeant came in and did what he did and it just blew up real quick.
Right. He created the bad situation.
Yeah, sometimes it's harder to fight fire with fire instead of just kind of diffusing the situation and just talking to them like you hear them, you understand them, and like trying to like get them.
Yeah, communication is definitely a very big part. Mm-hmm.
Can't just throw gas at somebody and expect them to listen to you. That's not going to work out.
No.
And especially if they were already calmed down and that doesn't make sense that he would do that.
Yeah, the inmate was going, getting his stuff and going downstairs to sit at a table, and he said he would even submit to hand restraints there. So, I mean, it was just, the sergeant just blew it right out of proportion immediately. So, it was nothing I could do. Mm-hmm. So he shot me with gas, shot the inmate with gas. And
wow.
The gas didn't affect the inmate at all. So.
Oh, wow. Did he shoot you with gas, like, accidentally while he was shooting the inmate?
It comes out in a great big stream. So
right.
Yeah, there's no way to avoid it. I was right behind the inmate.
So. Right. So he didn't directly shoot you with the gas. You just
no.
Because you were there with the inmate. I was just going to ask before if there's any advice that you would give anybody that was considering becoming a prison guard.
Yeah, I would say stand your ground, do your job the way you're supposed to, have respect for the inmates because they'll give you a lot of respect back if you just do what you're supposed to do. You're trained initially with the tools and the knowledge to do the job right. And if you continue to use that, it'll work.
That's great advice.
That'd be my best advice.
Yeah, I think that a lot of problems happen when people have a chip on their shoulders, no matter what side of the fence they're on.
Yeah. And also, like I said earlier, don't go in there with any kind of judgment because that's not your job.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's really meaningful that you're not there to punish or judge or whatever. You're there to make the things work and keep everybody safe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's important, right? No,
I'm sure it ain't the best system, but it's a system that does work. And if it's implemented properly with all the officers, I think it can work very well. But when an officer steps out of their spot and starts judging or doesn't have respect or gets too cocky with how they talk to somebody, then that's when things don't go right.
I was just going to say that I wonder if there's a difference between, do you know, Bill, if there's any difference between a treatment between a female prison system versus a male prison system?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I was in a male system.
Were there any female prison guards where you were?
Yes. They didn't come to maximum security. They didn't work in maximum security. Most of them didn't go to medium security. So I don't know how they really worked over in minimum because I was never over there.
Okay. Thank you.
Does anybody else have any questions for Bill before we let him go?
No, but I want to say thank you very much. It's very insightful. It's really interesting. Yeah, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Yes, thank you for being on the show.
Yeah, thank you. Well, I'm so glad that you came on. Like Ellen said, it's very insightful to hear a guard's point of view.
Mm-hmm. I definitely learned some things. And I learned some things that I had wrong. So
I hope I was helpful.
You were. I wish that there were more prison guards like you with the same mentality that you. I mean, yes. I hope there are. Absolutely. I don't know anything about the prison system at all. I'm hoping.
There's some out there.
Yeah.
There's some out
there. I was super relieved, actually, thinking that you had been, at least you had been there. You know, and training people with that mindset, it was good to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that was nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always went in thinking, you know, I want to, when I started training people, I wanted them to think the same way I thought, because to me, it worked well for me.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so. I think that is the best way in order to keep, to help the inmates become better people when they get out. Yeah. I mean, in maximum security, there may be quite a few that weren't going to leave that are there with life sentences, but you know, they still deserve to be treated as human beings.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. And there's a lot of them that are, were in maximum security that I seen go down to minimum. And a lot of them I seen that got released from maximum security and back into the world. And, I always told those guys best of luck and stay clean, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I really can't give them any more better advice than that.
Right.
After they leave, it's on them again, so.
Yeah, do you see a lot of recidivism? I'm sorry, I was going to let you go, but that just brought up a question. Do you see a lot of them coming back in?
I seen a few come back. Not, I didn't see a lot come back, but I seen a few come back. I'm sure. So they can go to any. Texas is a big place. They can go to any prison. There's a lot of them there. So there may be a lot that I didn't see, but I seen a few come back.
I've heard that a lot of times they have been in prison so long, they don't know how to function in the outside world. And you know, I've seen that happen.
Yeah.
Ellen, we saw that happen with one who ended up back in jail, but his original charges were dropped then. But he learned a big lesson that the world had changed so much in the 10 years that he was in. And that for those 10 years, his world was very small.
Yeah. The world moves fast. The prison stays almost the same.
Right.
And
right.
Yeah, it is a huge adjustment. And a lot of them can't take it.
Right.
They tell us a lot of them will come back.
Yeah, I heard about one man that had been in for like 30 years and was going to be released and was terrified. And so he committed a crime to extend his time.
I've heard that.
Wow.
I've seen that.
I did hear that a lot of, I don't know if it's all of Texas prisons, but a lot of them are starting to issue tablets to inmates.
That's true.
I think that will help them with the technology. My friend, I myself am
kind of against that.
Okay.
I could see why. I can see why.
I think it opens too many doors. It gives them a chance to contact people that they shouldn't be in contact with. I don't think there's a way to regulate that because inmates know people. People can fix things and, you know, I just don't think that's a good idea.
The whole issue is the internet. Like if you don't have access to the internet, like you can have offline tablets
or
they're on some internal system that you can download music and stuff, but you can't upload anything. So
yeah, I think that's what they're going with.
Okay. Well, that's,
I don't know what kind of access they have, but I'm against open access for sure.
Right. I agree with that.
And it's impossible, like not to talk more about school and prisons in the same sentence again, but we had that problem with the online exams because they have to do the exam online, but when they're online, they're online and you cannot control what kind of online they are. So,
right.
And I can tell you, Ellen, my teenagers here think that schools and prisons are basically the same.
Well, surprisingly, there's a lot of the group psychology, the whole thing. You have to work together, a lot of people. You have to agree on who is in authority and who is like, what will work the best way. And I can tell you a couple of weeks was not enough for me to even begin to learn. So I think that's very much to put on people in prisons because there's not the same danger to me, you know, but still it's super tough. It takes a very long time to find out what works and what doesn't. And, you know, it's not the same stakes, but it sure is a bad feeling when things are not working.
Yeah. Yeah. When things don't work, they go bad quick.
Yeah. And like you said, Bill, when people get insecure or scared, they do, you know, crazy things. So the more trusting or calm or, you know, people are, the less dangerous situations are going to arise.
Absolutely.
Right.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. Please check back next week for our next episode. And if you haven't already, please subscribe so you can get notified of when our new episodes release. And follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok @TouchedByCrime. Thanks, and we hope to see you again next week.